Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow, follow on, walking in his footsteps till the ground be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fright me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the I would follow on, follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on.
The Lord be with you. Our text this morning calls the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, part of which we read, a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 11 tells the story of the Jewish faith and the Christian faith through the lives of the faithful. Examples of faithful living giving shape to a community. Examples of how a community can cultivate faithful lives. This chapter calls those who hear to lives of faith, a faith that lives and moves and breathes, a faith that demonstrates to the world that watches the transformative power of the one in whom we have faith. From your own reading of scriptures, you are familiar with the stories referenced in the reading this morning. But in that reading, it is possible to get the sense that the faithful all lived back when the Bible was being written, and not today. But we know that's not true, of course. And so this morning, as those of you who like to read ahead have gathered, I want to do something a little different with the sermon time. I've asked for some help. I've asked for Pam Hester and Carrie Bible and Karen Smith to share a brief word with us about their faith in action over the summer. Pam.
When I was a little girl, I thought a lot about calling because that's what I heard preached in my church, that we were to follow our calling. Well, when you're young, you don't know what that is, and I've come to learn that when God gives us a calling, it's because He first gave us a heart of love for a certain people group or maybe a certain thing that we do well. I often thought it was something that was going to be hard or something that would be asking of me to do something I was not good at or uncomfortable with, but I was surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses in my home church, including my parents, that were just servant-hearted people who did things out of love. And when I look back, I think that's really all a calling is, to do what God has given you a heart for with love. So that heart for me has always been for children, and especially for children who need so much more than maybe the children that we have been in church with, children who haven't had all their needs met, physical and emotional. So I've always just tried to be open to what that looked like for me personally, and what I found in this church is that when someone has a passion and a calling, they never do it alone. I look around this place and see folks who have helped jump right in when we find something that needs us. And this summer was no different. When we had talked about how can we serve and how can we get outside these walls and our hearts, a lot of us are aligned with children who need food, who need love and compassion. Look what happened. So I'm so thankful that working with Amos and with Americans Helping Americans, that we looked outside these walls and saw children who usually get food bags from school that wouldn't have that during the summer. And when we found that need and Amos was ready to take us on, we all got together and met a need and met our calling with compassion. So I think all that means is look for the light, be the light, and be open to whatever God would have us do. And that's what happened this summer with our feeding program.
Did you say 2 or 20 minutes? I just want to make sure. Two? Okay.
Good morning, y'all. As I go through life, I constantly ask myself a question. Why does God have me here? For what purpose am I standing where I am? Whether that's in line at Food City, or fishing with friends, or serving here at this very church. This summer, I've been able to live out and see both sides of the verses that we read. The beauty of childlike faith and the ache of lives pressed down by pain and circumstance where faith is but a fading light. I've felt both in my own life journey at times this summer. The full throttle trust of that childlike faith to the unending painful doubt of asking questions like, God, where are you? Both, though, require faith. At kids' camp, I got to see it in its purest form. Joy, unbottled, untethered. Laughter, cartwheels, hugs. I saw little ones naturally live out the fruits of the Spirit. Not because someone told them to, but because love and kindness simply overflowed. I saw little friends holding another friend's hand when they needed it. At Benevolence, I've got to sit across from people like Sam. Someone whose wife is addicted to drugs in the throes of that addiction. Kidnaps his kids, moves out, clears out their bank account. This man lost his job, his father, his entire life, his family, all in a month. And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, I feel like God's left me. And I get that. I've had those moments too this summer. And at times I've lived both of these. Sometimes in the same week, the difference between a Monday and a Wednesday. Faith isn't just something we think or feel. I know what it feels like when, by faith, the Red Sea parts, even if it's just barely enough to walk through, even if I'm wondering when the waters will come crashing down and drown me as I take each step. It's what we live, it's what we hold on to, and it's not clean or tidy. It's bruised, and sometimes it's breathless, but it's alive. And this summer, my faith has truly been formed by these opportunities to serve, by the witnesses of children and the witnesses of the hurting and the ability to love them and to give them hope. Both remind me, faith without works is dead. But faith with hands and feet, faith that shows up, is how we keep both going for ourselves and our neighbors, even when it's hard, and truly especially when it's hard. And by faith, with hope and love, we press on.
Through the years, I have felt drawn to ministry with the elderly. And so this year, I have been serving and visiting those who, through choice, but mostly through life circumstances, live in assisted living, life care, and nursing homes. They live in various facilities in Jefferson, Knoxville, Blount, Morristown, and Newport, and I visit them there. Life for some is hard. It's hard to adjust sometimes. It's tough giving up their quiet homes, independence, and liberty, and privacy. Sometimes they're stormy days. Sharing their concerns and frustrations with someone, along with spoken prayers, blessings, funny stories and laughter, which I'm good at, with a few tears thrown in, is usually all they ask. They're examples of hope and grace given to their caregivers during those times, shine as an example of their living faith in God's presence and promise. What started as ministry to those in our First Baptist Church family has become precious friendships to me, and a gift of more friends to follow in love. They speak often of you, their treasured church family, and about how you have shown them love, and they've asked me to thank you for them. I sometimes leave after visits, praying that I have helped them as much as they have blessed me, and confess that in some situations, I feel unequipped. I'm learning. God is leading. And in faith, I'm following. That's all he asks.
Thank you. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I love stories, hearing stories of faith. These are not the only stories. They are some good and important recent ones. But as I look out into the congregation, I see more stories of faithful witness, adding one to another, until gathered here in this room is an extension of that great cloud of witnesses the writer wrote about in Hebrews. Now, as then, as was theirs, is ours. Our faith is in Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who, for the sake of joy, was set before him, endured the cross. And it is our trust in Jesus that compels us toward a faith that acts. Ours is a faith that is active. It's on the move. It is feeding the hungry. It is ensuring that as many needs are met as possible in our community. It's being with children. It is visiting those for whom it is difficult to come to be here among us. These, of course, are not the only demonstrations of our faith. Our faith is as diverse as the people who gather to profess it. It is as diverse as the stories we read in the Bible, and the way we demonstrate our faith is just as diverse. And this is important too. Our faith is demonstrated in community. We don't walk this road alone. We do it together, knowing that there will be easy days, but we also know there will be hard days. Days when we feel like we don't have the strength to keep going. It might be on these days that we feel like Mary Oliver's words when she says, "That time I said I could not go any deeper into grief without dying." Because our faith is lived in and among a great cloud of witnesses, I hope that we find, like Mary Oliver continues, "I did go deeper, but I did not die. Surely God had a hand in this, as well as friends." Some days we look to people like Pam and Carrie and Karen and their faithful witness, and we draw strength. And some days when we are unaware, it just might be that someone else in this community is looking to us and the faith we have demonstrated in public or in private likewise gives them strength. And that's good news, friends, because in the life of the faithful, there will be those days when faith is hard, when faithfulness doesn't seem quite worth it anymore, days when the shadows have drawn near and the voices won't stop, the addiction comes calling again, there is too much hate, too much violence, when the silence is too loud. And on those days, we can take comfort in the knowledge that we do not run this race alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us and those who run and walk and limp and roll and crawl alongside us even now. And so we lean on the story of the person and the spirit of Jesus, trusting that his grace is sufficient for all, even for us, and we lean on each other as we persevere in answering his call on our lives toward faithfulness, toward mercy, toward love. Take just a moment and look around this room. Look around at this great cloud of witnesses gathered here and join me in saying, thanks be to God. Amen.